CliffCentral.com.
Good morning, everybody. That's how an elk from Monty Python makes a noise at the beginning of the An Elk Brackets Miss Brackets Theory About the Brontosaurus. Don't worry, if you're not a Monty Python fan, it means nothing to you. So I'm not going to try and explain it. See us pulling faces at me as we speak. Good morning, everybody. Yeah, don't stress. It's not the end of the world. It's a Wednesday morning, the 2nd of June, and it is a freezing. Sia was just saying to me, he's wearing a Steve Jobs type polar neck, and
yes,
those things are meant to keep you warm. But I can't wear, it's like a scarf. I don't actually like to wear a scarf. I know they're good for you, and they keep your throat warm, and you know that's just a vulnerable part of your body to the cold. I can't wear anything on my neck like that. It's it makes me crazy. I'm always like fiddling with it. Even if there's a jersey that comes up too high, I can't wear it, so I know what an irritation that is. And Sia, I've like, never seen like you wearing a polo neck before.
Death by cotton. I do feel like I could pass out at any point. Hey, but it will make for an interesting show.
Well, Monica says, Sia, you look like part of Boys to Men.
if you do want, yes.
To the end of the road. Yeah. Still I can't let go. Great.
If you do want to indulge me as a former South African Style Award judge.
Oh, that's true. Yes, you are.
Yes. Polar necks stereotypically wouldn't work for a person like me because I have a very short torso. So when you have a short torso and then also cancels out your neck, you look like you're 3 centimeters long.
Oh.
I defy the odds.
How do you make a monster like me look good? What should I wear to be less monstrous? I mean, you're a style judge. Help me.
Well, you know, Gareth, that will mean I have to consult, and that will mean I'll have to invoice you. I'm joking.
Okay. Well, I mean,
no, you have height on your side, so that works. A lot of people are always trying to compensate, either trying to make themselves look taller. Or then trying to play with their size in terms of how big or small they look. But you have size, so the stature helps you. You don't have a lot to worry about.
You know, it's such a weird thing. Like, you totally take height for granted if you have it.
Mm.
If you don't have it, it's pretty much the only thing you think about.
Yeah.
Because
you walk into places and you're looking up at people.
Right.
Then it's all your insecurities coming out to play. Oh, yeah.
I mean, I never think about it because I'm 182 centimeters tall. That's what, 6'3" or 6'4", somewhere around there. Mm-hmm. But I never really think about it. So I walk into a room and it's not a thing to me that I'm tall. I don't consider it. It's all I know, right? But if you're short, it does kind of play on you. I remember a short friend of mine in a moment of drunken honesty. He was like, you know, I'm always thinking about how I'm not as tall. He's very careful about what girls he dates, because if they're taller than him, it's a real like it just never works. He said the first thing he checks, and he's one of those guys who's always on Tinder. He says the first thing he checks is how tall a girl is. And if she's not at least like this much shorter than him, he's not interested in her. He can't even if she's perfect for him in every way. And I'm like, what? I've never considered that. I've never even thought about it. It's so weird. Here's Leanne Moll, everybody. Mm-hmm. Good morning, Leanne Moll.
Hello.
Good warm morning.
Cheery. You hear me?
You look cheery this morning. Yeah, perfectly. Yeah. And we were just talking about like short people and how to them, like being short is such a thing. You know, the people who are not short don't think about that stuff. But people who are short, it's what they think about all the time, you know?
Yeah.
It's light.
Then I'd say that there's some people, it's slightly off-putting to me when you can tell that they are not comfortable with their height. So yeah. they're trying to cower down, and they can't stand up straight because they just feel awkward and lanky. Just own it, man.
Well, I've told the story before about that guy who was, he was extremely tall, and he walked in, to a room where I was talking to someone else. And I found myself becoming like aggressive to him, which is the weirdest thing, but he was really tall. He was like at least a head and maybe some more taller than I was. And while I was talking to him, he said to me, there's something wrong. And I was like, why would he say that? And I realized, like, just in time, because I'd maybe said a sentence already, that my natural setting to him was aggressive just because he was tall, which was so stupid. And it shows you how much of an effect that has, even when you're not aware of your own height. The minute you're around someone who's taller than you, especially as a guy, you tend to...
find that intimidating.
Yeah, you tend to play it up, you know? You tend to, like, have to punch above your weight, so to speak. It was very weird. And I've never forgotten that. So now I'm very, very aware, and occasionally it obviously slips, but I'm mostly conscious of the fact that when I am talking to someone who's taller than me, that I don't default to like ape and start becoming a shithead. That obviously offended Leanne. She's just left the conversation.
Yes. Yeah, yes.
Very bad. And when Steering Pikachu says, I'm short and I don't mind a tall Amazon woman. One that can pick me up. Oh. Well, you know, there we go. Sure. If that's your thing, great. Yeah. And Ruth says, I'm 4'11". I think it's the big boobs that weigh me down. Oh, heck, I don't always think about it. I wish I could get rid of my large boobs instead. Well, you're thinking about your boobs all the time, Ruth. So, I mean, that's something to think, you know, consider. And you can
Ruth raises a good point. Apart from height, then you get the dynamics or rather the ratio of legs to torso. And it seems like it doesn't matter, but to some people it really does. So I have a friend who's somewhat around Ruth's height, also with big boobs, and she makes a note of it all the time. She can't sit and slouch. Because if she sits and slouches, it looks like her boobs are basically touching her thighs. And that's not.
That's incredible.
That's not a good look for anyone. you just need at least some sliver of a tummy.
Unfortunately, like a friend of mine sent a picture to me yesterday of a girl that was easily one of the hottest girls I'd ever seen when I was at varsity. And what she's looking like now. And it's just, you know, she's a shadow of her former self. And I thought, Jesus, age is a bastard, you know? Oof. It can hit some people so goddamned hard, like a sledgehammer, and there's just nothing you could do about it. But to go back to this height thing for a second, there are people who think about this stuff all the time. I mean, Corona's Boring says, I'm a short person stuck in a tall person's body. I identify as not being able to reach the top shelf. But it is all about proportion. It is all about proportion. See, and this is what this comment is from Monica. She says, other than my main job as a florist, I'm a qualified personal stylist. It's all about proportions. Anyone can look amazing with the right fit. And I mean, the funny thing is, right, that if you dress properly, it totally mitigates whatever proportional problems you have, like proportionality, symmetry. Is what nature is all about. If you look at the Fibonacci sequence, which is the sequence that allows in nature for branches to grow on a tree stem and for leaves to come out of a branch.
Something that's just available at an Italian restaurant.
No, although it sounds it sounds like something on the menu. Fibonacci sequence is also about symmetry. And if you look at the way the universe is constructed, even at the atomic level, atoms are so perfectly symmetrical. The quantum, the parts of an atom, even in the nucleus of an atom, are so perfectly symmetrical. You know, three quarks for every proton and every neutron, and everything's just in nature. That's why beauty is so important. And it's not beauty is not just some decorative thing. Beauty is absolutely essential to happiness. And what you find beautiful. What you find beautiful, you think is up to you. You think it's all subjective. You think it's, oh, you know, I find this kind of thing more attractive than I find that kind of thing. But deep down inside, it's actually appealing to a very ancient part of you. It's appealing to a very scientific, very cold, hard part of you that is not really terribly interested in the soft stuff at all. It's actually what you're seeing is the stuff that nature wants you to pay attention to, that symmetry, that proportion. And this is so important. I mean, you don't have to be an aesthete to appreciate these things. It's massively, massively important to humans. In fact, it is the reason that your DNA makes you attracted to another person, for example, is because your DNA secretly in some subconscious way is operating on the basis that if you, and this is obviously for like a male-female relationship, right? But if you find as a man her attractive, or if she finds you attractive, what your DNA is really telling you is that would be a good combination. We could produce much more.
Combination to reproduce.
Yes, correct.
Did not know that.
Yeah, it's so much out of your control. I mean, we all think it's well within our control. The reason you find certain people attractive and others not is because your DNA is seeing things that will complement it. That's all it is. There's no romance. There's no magic. That's all it is. And I mean, it is a kind of magic, but it's extraordinary. Monica says, Italians have known that beauty is extremely important on a higher level. That's why we're so known for it. That's true. But all over the world, every culture celebrates beauty. And we all have – that's what art is, right? Art is a way to represent in most situations. I mean, there's revolting art and there's art that challenges things. But the majority of sculpture, painting, all the high arts, most of that is about celebrating beauty. And it's just spectacular to see. I mean, like, there's a reason that the most celebrated paintings and drawings and sculptures and architecture in the world is universal. The reason that we all look at a building like St. Peter's Cathedral in Rome and we all go, is because the awe-inspiring beauty of it just hits us in a place that we can't explain. It'll bring a tear to your eye. I mean, I will cry if music is beautiful enough. I will cry if I see a painting that makes me awestruck.
I will cry when I see a gentleman's great 6-month bank statement. Beautiful.
You are so materialistic. Oh my God, you're a gold digger. I mean, your reputation is getting worse and worse with every opportunity you take to open your mouth about how much you just love money. You'll do anything.
Keep quiet from now on. I'm not on the show anymore.
Yeah, you should just be a high class hooker. I mean, you should be South Africa's most. No. I mean, you've just taken it from here to here. You should be South Africa's most highly paid male call guy. That's what you should be. And you should just charge a fortune. You should be like, well, I'll take you to all the important, because you know everybody, right? I'll introduce you to all
these. I'd want to be the master. I don't want to be out in the cold Joburg streets.
No, you wouldn't be a street hooker. Leanne, the conversation has just descended from a discussion of beauty and what makes people beautiful and, you know, how we all differ and proportionality and symmetry. It's just evolved from that into Sia being a gold digger again.
No.
Listen, this is not the type of conversation that the two of you are allowed to have without some kind of grounding anchor.
Okay.
Which is?
Moi. It's moi.
No, Leanne is, she's ascribing powers to herself again. Go on.
Come on, guys. When it comes to...
Why don't you focus on paying your electricity so that you can come on the show at the right time, you fucking cheapskate. So Leanne Moore...
One step at a time, okay?
She sends me this story. Oh, no. Ran out of electricity. Juicing up now. And then she goes off and buys like electricity on her app or whatever. And now she's suddenly got power in her house. What happened? Did you forget that you owed Eskom money?
Oh, no. It's prepaid electricity that I'm on, which has a lot of benefits. You know, a lot of times when there's load shedding, you have a bit of a benefit. But it's also good because you don't end up owing Eskom any cent of interest should anything run over. You owe them nothing. It's all under your control, which is fantastic. Problem is, when you buy prepaid electricity, so when I lived in McGregor, and that's what started me off. There was no choice there. You had to have prepaid. And you would buy your electricity and you'd receive a code to punch into the little keypad. And the code was 5 digits long.
Okay.
Not so in Johannesburg. It's 20 digits long.
Oh, geez.
Now you try and type that in.
Johannesburg, because Johannesburg's people are much more crooked, right?
Yeah, they've got to make it cryptic.
No, they have to make it like a fucking Bitcoin wallet code. Otherwise, you're gonna find some way to cheat the thing. Some guy in the municipality is handing out codes to his family. Watch.
But now imagine trying to type in this 20-digit number when you've run out of electricity. So in the dark.
Oh wow.
They didn't think that one through.
Yeah. No, that's ridiculous.
Doesn't it annoy you in these times when you don't have your load shed or if you've just run out of electricity? That's annoying.
Oh, no, it's ridiculous. When the electricity goes out, you check the board, you check your app, you check the little pin code thingy. Oh, no, it's...
Yesterday,
I didn't have electricity or water. And I said to Precious, who comes to me once a week, who's from Zimbabwe, I said to her, Precious, what are our prospects in Zimbabwe? Because I'm seriously thinking about it.
Oh, my God. You want to move to Zim? It's that bad?
Yeah, I mean, what the hell?
Leanne, you're better off pitching a tent in your garden and just living there now, because just accept that the wilderness is within you now.
Or just get one of those Primus stoves that run off paraffin or something, and then you can warm yourself there, you can cook your food, and it'll give you a little bit of light, just enough to join the show in the morning. I bought this thing. Look at this. I bought this stand. Let me just put it on the main screen for my iPad, which is quite cool. Do you see this?
Ooh.
It's quite awesome because it's
it looks like a lampshade base, but then
it's amazing.
Then you hook your iPad into it.
Yes, and it's very cool because it allows me to I can take it to other places in the house, and I can use it as the screen for the show or whatever. And my iPad was on the blink, but I realized part of the problem was it was on the stupid stand that had it at an angle where it wasn't working properly. I didn't know, but it's one of those early generation iPads, so it wasn't it's not one of the latest ones, and those things, obviously, over time they deteriorate. They get more and more. They just need new software updates, and they don't update properly, and blah blah blah. Anyway, now this thing's working like a dream, just because I bought the stand for it, and it's really cool. Like you find things like that to make. I just feel like the show is a little more professional if I have the right equipment around me, because it still bothers me a little bit that we're not in studio. It doesn't certainly not in the middle of winter, and I know Sia will vouch for us because he's not enjoying this week. Simpiwes. By the way, Leanne, you're very lucky because I know how paranoid and hypochondriac you are. This week, if you were at Cliff Central, we've got like a 75% infection rate at Cliff Central this week with COVID.
Yeah. I'd be calling in sick this week.
We reckon Simpiwe was patient zero. And
can you name and shame such as the unofficial HR department? Isn't it like personal?
Yeah, all right. I'm going to give you the lowdown because you deserve to know. As the listeners of this show, you deserve to know what's really happening. No. All right. So here it is.
People got to know.
Simpiwe is patient zero. She passed it on to Khomolemo and to Greg and to Barrett. And I think they passed it on to... who else has got it? Mum Jane has got it, which is very upsetting because she's apparently got it worse than anybody else. And, look, everybody's okay. No one's like in ICU or going to hospital or any of that stuff. But, it's a worry because this thing, if you pass it on to parents and, some of them are worried about their parents, and somehow Sia and I haven't got it, or we haven't got symptoms. We may have had COVID already. You don't know, right? Mm-hmm. but we haven't got symptoms. So the only four of us that have escaped this somehow. No, they're five. It's me, Sia, Dori, Rena, and Spike who haven't got it.
All the seniors.
Sia's not a senior. How dare you?
Excuse me, madam.
You
old bat. Do I need to roll down my Polonic so that you can see my supple skin underneath?
Sia's only 26.
Jeez.
What are those? Frills.
Hey.
Look at this
wow.
Okay, see you, Sangweni. There he is.
I did though, when I first found out about everyone being ill. Well, actually, before that, last week, I was in here for a meeting and someone was really, really ill. Gareth, I still don't think we should be mentioning names. I don't know. I just feel like it's some sort of regulation or something.
You do your thing. I name and shame. That's what we do on this show. If I was the one who brought it in, I would have said so.
So one person was really not looking good in the meeting. And I said, can you please step out a bit? Can you please sit away from us? And everyone thought I was being so horrible to them. But they were coughing. It seemed like if we gave them two more seconds, they'd be coughing up their lungs. Oh, this is not good. So I wasn't surprised when I heard over the weekend that people were like getting sick by the moment. So from Monday or Tuesday, I called one of our team members, Greg, and I said, Greg, are you fine? Are you well? Is the whole family fine? And he said, yes, you know, we'll make it through this. Then I said, I told you so. Damn it. I told you so. Never too early for an I told you so.
You know, I love nothing more than an I told you so. And we've had a couple of those last few days, right? We've had the China virus thing, which I went on about yesterday, and some people loved. I haven't yet heard I still haven't heard from Chairman Xi about how he feels about that. But there are obviously lots of people who are not so thrilled about what I said about China yesterday. But that turns out to be more than just general information. It's now an established fact that this virus may very well, the probability of it coming out of a manufactured situation in a Chinese lab where there wasn't sufficient protocols is pretty much right up there. The Wall Street Journal, you know, the Washington Post, New York Times, they're all reporting on this like it's true now, and those are all credible credible media outlets.
The SouthAfrican.com.
Oh, yes, them too. Yeah, of course, they're credible.
My Zimbabwe.
Yeah, we could go from the high to the low on this one. And the other I told you so is all the lockdown stuff, which, you know, from the very beginning of last year, there were some of us who were saying this is going to be more damaging in the long term to the economy, and they're not going to be as many deaths as they say, and it's not as dangerous a disease as they say. That's come true. The extreme conspiracy theorists, the people who said, oh, well, this isn't even a real thing. Obviously, that's not true. We've got scientific evidence that, you know, that the coronavirus is very real. It's very contagious, that it has spread through populations. It has caused deaths. It has led to people being hospitalized and put in intensive care and put on oxygen and so on. So I don't think anyone thinks that that is possibly true. But, and I told you so, in respect of someone sneezing in a meeting or coughing in a meeting, you're allowed to claim that one, Sia. You have that I told you so, and you take it with you.
It is the sweet, sweet, satisfying I told you so, as I can breathe and hop and skip, and I can let someone cough down my throat.
Why don't you just be happy that you don't have the coronavirus? How about that? How about you just be grateful about that for a change instead of having
to be satisfying enough.
Dance in someone else's misery. Sia, have you been for a test or are you going to go for a test since everyone around us is going?
No, well, my conclusion here, professional or not, is that since I had it in December and I showed symptoms back then, I think it would be very random if I were to get it again and not show symptoms. So I think I would only go for a test, or rather start really extra isolating if I were to show further symptoms.
Well, the only thing I want to add before we get to headlines about the coronavirus, because we've spoken about it God knows for how long, and it really is one of the most boring things. I was talking to Sia yesterday. We're planning the last few TV shows for the season. And I said, you know, the one thing – there are two things I don't want to talk about anymore. The one is the coronavirus and kind of what we've done about COVID in this country. And the other thing is the ANC and how it's falling apart, because it almost feels like those two stories just haven't stopped for a whole year, and sometimes even longer in the case of the ANC. But there is one other bit of information. The WHO, and if you still trust them, the World Health Organization, you really need your head read, because remember, they're the ones who told us all those months ago, China's done a great job. They did that in February last year. They were saying China's done a great job of containing this. Yeah, that's why the whole world has it. The WHO have said they're going to rename the variants of COVID.
Oh, damn it.
Yes. Thank you, Leanne.
I've got to get you.
They're going to rename the variants because apparently it's, you know, it was racist to call it the Wuhan virus or the China virus because, of course, that is where it comes from.
And then there's the British strain and the South African strain.
Correct. And we were all upset. We were like, how come we can't call it the China virus, but you guys can call this the South African variant of that virus? So apparently the WHO have decided they're naming these strains the Alpha, Beta, Gamma, and so on down the Greek alphabet. How terribly politically correct of them, just to make sure China doesn't get the blame anymore. Because, of course, China has the WHO by the balls. And if anybody doesn't think so, you're not paying attention. Remember, in January last year, the WHO were the people who said, don't worry, this thing is not transmissible from human to human. That's what they said, the WHO. Fucking hell, that's what they said.
Gareth, they can't know everything, like, off the bat.
Then they should shut up.
Pardon the pun, bat.
If you're the World Health Organization and you expect to be taken seriously, don't say something stupid like, this is not transmissible from human to human. And then it turns out not only is it transmissible, it's hugely contagious. Don't lie to people.
Then they keep quiet. Then you say they aren't doing their job. Why aren't they saying something?
No, I don't. They're a political organization. They're not a health organization. And if you take them seriously and you take the United Nations seriously at this point, you're just an idiot. I didn't take them seriously. So I'm not cross with them. You should be. They lied to you. You took them seriously. Not me. I'm just pointing out how stupid you are to believe them. Anyway.
So the UK virus is going to be known as Alpha.
Okay. The UK variant.
The variant, rather. The one first spotted in South Africa will be called Beta or Beta. Brazil's will go by Gamma. I like the fact that we're Beta or Beta because Britain was very quick to call it the South African variant.
Yes. Now they're getting the heat. I see, though, that there's so much panic porn on UK television. And, you know, I just have to occasionally check in on Sky News because they just love beating that tired old drum. If you turned on Sky News yesterday, which I did, or if you turned it on in June last year, exactly a year ago, or if you turned it on in February last year, the message is the same. Panic, panic, panic. Fear, fear, fear. And by the way, if we're going to start with Alpha and Beta, we're going to run out of letters soon because there are thousands and thousands of variants popping up. You know, every one, like the flu, the reason that you go for the flu vaccine and sometimes it doesn't work so well is because there's so many different variants of the flu. It's constantly mutating. This is what viruses do. So if we're going to name the South African and UK variants, then we're going to run out of letters pretty quickly. We'll come back with
Alpha, Alpha, Beta, Beta.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Mm. Eventually we'll have like for the 4,200th variant that they pick up in someone, they'll be like Alpha, Beta, Gamma, Delta, Epsilon, Zeta, Eta, Theta, Iota, Kappa, Lambda, Mu, Nu, Psion, Epsilon. What are the others? It eventually ends with Omega.
Elon Musk.
That's right.
What?
I had the weirdest dream last night. I was at some restaurant and Elon Musk walked in, but with like 40 people in his retinue who all looked like the world's biggest nerds. They were like all wearing They were all wearing thick glasses and like
very realistic.
Yeah, no, no, it's true. Like these are probably the people who work for him. And if I ever see the people who work at Tesla or, you know, any of the other businesses, SpaceX or whatever, I'd probably recognize these people from my dream. Because I saw Elon Musk and he went and sat at this really long table with all of his nerd friends. And it was just so weird. Like I was, the dream was so realistic.
Yeah.
I can remember what I was eating and everything. And then suddenly there's this noise in the restaurant. And then Elon comes in with all his mates or all his, I don't know who they were. They definitely. Yeah. It wasn't as if he was announced, but you know, when people go, oh, or there's this hush, there's this noise in a restaurant and then there's suddenly a bit of silence and you know, he comes in. Anyway, it was very weird.
Oh, my aunt will tell you not to eat in dreams. And I've always found that to be the most bizarre thing. She's so superstitious. So she believes as
superstitious. Don't be superstitious. Don't be superstitious.
As for some people who might believe in this too, they say that if someone wants to, you know, perform voodoo on you or they're bewitching you with some bad sangoma, they could come into your dreams and serve you food. And as you willingly eat that, then that's like the muti that they give to you. So now I've always been so paranoid thinking, how am I supposed to control my dreams? Now you're at a restaurant, you should go, sorry, dream waitress, I'm full.
No, I don't know about any of those rules about what you are and aren't meant to do in dreams, but how are you meant to control your dreams? I mean, I can't.
You can.
No, you can't.
No, you can. Definitely. Have you? Really? I mean, okay. Guys, we this tried is me and my, as a my dreams. For the week.
Yeah, we tried it 1 week and I couldn't get it to work.
If I wake up because I need to go to the loo desperately and I'm having a good dream, if I tell myself to dream the same thing again, I'll continue the dream when I go to sleep.
No, you're very lucky. I've tried.
You come back, fall asleep, and you still carry on with that same dream?
No. Mm-hmm. She's got superpowers because I've tried that, trust me. I've been in the middle of a really great dream. Like you're about to have sex with some amazingly gorgeous girl from movies and you're like really excited and then you wake up and you're like, ah, fuck. And then you go back to sleep and you try to get back into the dream. It never works, ever. Not for me.
No, it does work. And you can also tell yourself before you go to sleep what you're going to dream about. It's nothing, it's not.
You must be a witch.
It's not woo-woo. It's not woo-woo stuff. It's like scientifically proven brain stuff.
Yeah, you're a witch.
You're the people my aunt was warning me about.
Yeah, she's a witch. She has these powers. How come you only reveal your powers to us now, Leanne Moll?
Remember, I'm the one with hypnagogia, which is seen as a gift in the Native American culture.
Yeah, meanwhile, you need a sleeping Jesus to help you get to sleep. By the way, is that thing still working?
Yeah, still going strong.
Are you getting a good night now? Are you sleeping through the night?
Yeah, sleep through the night mostly and through the morning when I'm supposed to be here.
But you know, if you were around in the 1600s with your hypnagogia and your ability to go back into dreams.
Apnea,
all of those things.
I'd be dead.
You'd be burnt at the stake for all your evil powers. People wouldn't like to, they wouldn't trust you in the village. You'd be shunned.
I'd be the only witch in the village.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
Elson says, if you want to see your dreams come true, pee in your dreams. And next time you'll control that. Yeah, that's also true.
Oh, it's Samantha, the worst. When you convince yourself that you're sitting on a loo, but you're not.
Leanne, how often does that happen in your life?
No, like once a year, maybe.
Oh, God. Well, you wet the bed.
Or maybe I just peed a little.
Oh, Leanne.
Wait, you wet your bed like in the past 12 months?
Yes, when you're having a dream.
Oh no, Leanne, this is worse than Sia shitting himself, because at least he was conscious while he was doing that. Oh my God, you peed in your bed. At the age of...
No.
Look at
it. It happens, guys. My dreams are very convincing.
Sure. That is cool. That's incredible.
I need to understand if you are in the minority here or the majority. I'd love to hear from more people if they pee at least once a year.
Or you'll
bed.
Just you'll start and you're like, ooh.
Leanne in bed late at night. Samantha says it's called lucid dreaming. It takes practice, but it is possible. I do it all the time. So you're also a witch, Samantha. That's what we know. Dear Gareth, here's a message from Mila. Dear Gareth, I stopped listening to you when you went off of 5FM. For years I suffered. I'm so happy to have found you again. Now I can listen to relevant info and news on my way to work. Love it. Meanwhile, we were talking about peeing in your bed. Poor Mila. She's waited 7 years to hear this bullshit.
this.
Mila, I'm sorry. You came in at just the wrong moment. But yeah, welcome. You know, everybody's welcome, Mila. I mean, the rest of us have been here for 7 years. But, you know, we don't mind. It's taken you this while to get here. We're only too happy to welcome you.
Yeah, glad you just come to the dinner party, but the main course is not being served.
Well, some would say that the pudding's already been served and people are starting to get drunk, but...
Some would say we've eaten every cuisine in the world, in the world of cuisines.
We had rather a long meal while Mila's been absent. But you know what? It's never too late, so welcome. Lee says, that's the one dream we've all had at some point in life. I think she's referring to the peeing in your dream thing.
But every year? No.
Guys... Stop judging.
Too late. Okay. The last time I had that dream was, I was 12. So 14 years ago.
12 is still an acceptable age to be peeing in your... Have you got adult diapers around yet, Leanne? Because you're going to need those soon.
My mom's got some. I've been tempted.
and your birthday's coming up soon. Perhaps you just need to embrace it now.
The next step is what they call... linen savers. This is what I've learned.
What are those?
It's like have you seen those puppy training pads where you put out a sheet, like a rectangular sheet of absorbent material?
Oh no. That's terrible. Okay, we're gonna have to come back to this. I've got to get into this with more detail. I think everybody wants to know more, but we've got to get some headlines in as well.
You've only done one.
No, we haven't done any.
We haven't done any.
So here's the first headline from ENCA. Load shedding is back. Back again. Load shedding's back. Tell your friends. It's on from 10 a.m. on Wednesday to 10 p.m. Friday night. Hot. Irritating. Apparently, there are breakdowns at the generating units at Arno and Majuba power stations. Eskom says emergency generation reserves have been depleted, blah, 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 blah. They just basically can't get their shit together. More stupidity from Eskom. I don't need to go into the details of it. You know what to expect from Eskom. Then the police killed 7 suspects in a shootout at a house in Pietermaritzburg. One of the suspects is believed to be part of a group that escaped from custody earlier this year. Remember those escapees, Sia? We talked about that on the show.
Yeah, like 20-odd people.
Yeah, they shot one of them in this house in Scottsville in Maritzburg. And no police officers were injured in the shootout, so as far as I can tell, that's a good story. If no police were injured and all the bad guys were, that's great.
Sia, you can't call them odd people. You don't even know them.
That's enough from the lady who pees her pants.
Yeah, exactly. Thank you. The Pan-African Parliament has once again been postponed after more scuffles broke out. I don't know if you saw that video of Julius Malema threatening to kill some person in the Pan-African Parliament. I mean, if you've ever needed proof that Julius Malema should not be given any more responsibilities than he already has and probably should have those taken away, he behaves like a child. And threatening to kill someone in parliament while other people are witness and there are videos rolling and you're talking in a legislative body, threatening to kill someone is a very, very serious thing. Julius Malema, who I've told you before, I think is very intelligent. I think he's a crafty and sly politician, but he's also a complete adolescent when it comes to controlling his own temper. And you can't have people like that in power. It's just not acceptable. The way he spoke to this, I don't know where the dude was from, like Malawi or something, but he was extremely rude to him and then said, "I'm going to kill you. Come outside. I'll kill you." On Tuesday, the election was postponed after chaos erupted when members argued against rotational leadership. The South African delegation wants changes, is demanding the election be a rotational one. You know what this is? It just proves that the Pan-African parliaments are a complete waste of money and we should shut the whole thing down. And you know what this does? It reinforces all that shit that real racists believe, I'm afraid. It gives racists ammo. So how are we allowing this to happen? And why are we allowing our leaders to behave in such a fashion that the rest of the world looks at us and goes, "Oh, Africa." Because that's what they're doing. Let's just own up to the fact that unless we tidy up our own house, we're never going to be respected. Because they do. They look at this and they go, "Wow, if that's the Pan-African Parliament, no wonder Africa's in the state it's in," right? That's what they're saying. And there's a bit of racism there. We know that. You'd expect that. So if we can't behave, that's what's going to happen. People are going to think that of us. And then we have no one to blame but ourselves. And I say that as a proud African who is increasingly upset by the fact that our leaders cannot give us the pride that we deserve. A 41-year-old Chinese man has been confirmed as the first human case of an infection with a rare bird flu strain. Oh, well done, China. Here's some fucking China. Here they go. They're back at the wheel, China. This is what happens when you give them control of anything, even agriculture or science. Officials didn't give details on how the man got infected with the H10N3 strain, which is thought to spread from humans to humans, but not so easily, they say. We've heard this from China before. The Jiangsu province resident who was diagnosed last week has now recovered and is ready to be discharged. There are many bird flu strains. It's not unheard of that people working with poultry occasionally get infected, says China. And you can't believe anything they say, but the Beijing National Health Commission said on Tuesday that the resident of the city of Zhangjiang was hospitalized on the 28th of April and diagnosed with H10N3 1 month later. No human cases have been reported in the world. The case that we have in question here is one of an occasional poultry to human cross species transmission. The risk of a large scale spread is extremely low, said the NHC. Oh yeah. Yeah. Sure. We've heard this before. Anybody else have problems trusting China at this point, or is it just me? This is just me. I thought so.
I'm sure they've said that before.
Yeah, and Europe has some news to add to the pile today. Pope Francis has changed the Roman Catholic Church's laws to explicitly criminalize sexual abuse.
Took him a while.
Oh, well, thank goodness for that, because we've been going around just thinking that it was okay.
You know, Jesus died some 2,000 years ago, and only now have the Catholic Church decided to explicitly criminalize sex abuse. It's the biggest overhaul of the criminal code for 40 years in the Catholic Church.
At least it lets a whole lot of people off the hook, you know, up until now.
Jesus. So the new rules make sexual abuse, grooming minors for sex, possessing child porn, and covering up abuse a criminal offense under Vatican law. Well, thank goodness for that. I mean, really, isn't this embarrassing?
It's laughable.
The Pope said one of the aims, was to reduce the number of cases in which the penalty was left to the discretion of authorities. Because you know what they did with Bernard Law, the cardinal in Boston, is they just moved him to the Vatican so he wouldn't be prosecuted under American law. Anyway, I mean, there's so many other cases. He's just the one that springs to mind. But take your pick. In almost any diocese, you're going to find some priest or some adult who's abusing a child or grooming a child or worse. And to me, that it's taken the Catholic Church this long to get to this point is outrageous.
Anyway, it's,
what do you even say? What do you say?
And the funniest thing is that this relocation thing has been going on for ages. You know, if he messes up here, let's just move him to another town.
That's what they do.
So you end up with all these priests, these sex offenders in small towns where there are people who are so vulnerable to it. Correct. And nothing gets done about it because it's a small town.
I do want to move on. It's just such an upsetting subject. I don't like talking about it at all, because there was also a report this week on one of the news sites that cyberbullying and online sexual grooming of children is on the increase in South Africa. Even the UN released a disgusting piece of propaganda the other day. Let me just find this for you, because this is easily one of the most upsetting things that I've seen in a long time. The United Nations, UNICEF, right? The well-known organization within the United Nations says pornography. This is a report that they put out on the 13th of May this year. They said pornography is not always harmful to children. That's an actual headline from the UN. Look at this. It's outrageous, right? You see that?
Not always.
Yeah, pornography is not always harmful to children. Now, that may seem like an uncontroversial point to make, but in the ongoing story of how some people seek to normalize the idea of sex and children, is just it, to me, this is horrific. Mm. And it actually comes together in the same category as the Catholic Church's sudden realization that they need to criminalize this stuff. I mean, you can actually go and look at the report. It's a published UNICEF report. And I know what kind of person would think that this is the kind of report the world needs, but there it is. From the Center for Family and Human Rights in the United States, they've looked into this and they are horrified, as are many of us, at the fact that this is actually something UNICEF would publish.
And I mean, I'm trying to see all aspects here. As you know, I'm usually the diplomat. But there are certain types of pornography which are educational.
Jesus, not pornography. There's certain kinds of documentary.
But hold on, what is the definition of pornography?
I mean, is it simply
putting matters of sex onto a certain type of media?
Listen, when it comes to educating children about sex, to me, the default position should be the parents get to choose and decide what is appropriate for their kids to learn. Right? That should be the default.
I don't know if it's healthy for parents to tell kids about sex.
Well. Who? The government school system? Because that's very dangerous. I don't like the idea of that. I don't like the idea of a government, even a good government, being in charge of that stuff. Let me just read this to you, Leanne, and give you an idea of what the problem is here. I know you're trying to play the devil's advocate, and it's not a position anyone wants to argue from. I get it, especially with a subject like this. UNICEF says any efforts to block children from accessing pornography online might infringe on their human rights.
Okay.
What?
That's indefensible. I don't see a way.
Gareth, are you sure this is a legitimate study?
Swear to God, this is
from the Onion?
I'm reading this directly from UNICEF's report, okay? UNICEF bases this claim on an expansive interpretation of the International Covenant on Civil and Political Rights. And remember, the definition of pornography is printed or visual material containing the explicit description or display of sexual organs or activity intended, this is important, to stimulate sexual excitement. There's no reason that kids
Big
should
difference
be
exposed. There.
Sorry. There's just no reason in the whole world that should be acceptable. Sorry. If I sound like an old conservative and out of touch, then too fucking bad. That's what I think. And it's not on to me that there are people in UNICEF who think it's okay for kids to be accessing this stuff, and that if you block them from accessing it, it's some infringement of their human rights. Are you kidding? Unbelievable.
So they've tried, this is UNICEF, they've tried to take this report down and edit it before re-uploading it, but it seems like it's legit.
It is legit. And they suddenly it's embarrassing because this is what some pervert inside of UNICEF probably thinks is a good idea.
Well, Leanne, the reason why I'm still not siding with you on this is let's even use that definition.
Just hold on. It's not Leanne's side. She's just trying to be, she's trying to be
playing devil's advocate. Yeah. Yes.
She's not standing up for UNICEF here.
You know, even if we use that specific definition in that report of what porn is, mm-hmm. that explicitness of footage, you can't, you know, that is not, oh, here's a banana and then you simulate putting a condom on that.
Yeah.
It's now spit in my mouth.
Or this is
that,
how a human being
flip over.
Yeah.
No
this
child
is how
needs
a, union,
to be.
A human being reaches orgasm because that's educational.
Because also porn is a lie. Next thing, like, people never mind. It's a lie.
You know, this is up to the parents. And if not the parents, then it's up to social workers. It's up to society as a whole. It's up to the, you know, the whole idea that it takes a village. But it's not up to governments, and it shouldn't be up to international organizations like UNICEF to be saying what's right and wrong for children.
I don't mind teaching it. If there's any
Which
tragedy
is
in this.
An extension of government. Yes, Leanne, sorry.
A friend of mine has two stepkids who are 18 and 21. And one of them was on their iPads. And they shut down their iPads just before dinner. And he closed the cover, but the sound continued. He was obviously clearly watching porn. And she said... She said the thing that I find most admirable, and that was, you know what, guy, you can watch that stuff, but just don't expect it to happen in real life. Women are not going to look like that, act like that, and do like that. It's completely different, and don't treat women in the way that they're treated in porns.
Look, that's an acceptable conversation to have with an 18-year-old or a 21-year-old, but it's not an acceptable conversation to be having with a 12-year-old, for example.
Yeah.
So. You know, everything has its appropriate age. I mean, we don't allow people to vote under the age of 18. We don't allow people to drive under a certain age. We don't allow people to drink under a certain age. And the same should go for this. This is a very, very complex thing to explain to a child. And remember that your brain is constantly growing and maturing and getting to a stage where it can understand certain things. There are just ages at which these things are not an appropriate subject to broach. And if questions are asked, it's up to parents to deal with them in the way they see fit. Because, of course, there are terrible parents in the world. But the port of call, the default position should be parents first. And then beyond that, we decide who's got the authority to do this stuff. But certainly not UNICEF. And what they're proposing in this report is outrageous. Really, anyone who can defend this, I'd love to hear your idea of what's a defense, because I can't see one.
I think what's scary for me is that parents should be the ones to know when their child is ready for the talk, right? And I'm seeing that from comments from Eleutheria, who's saying exactly that. Only a parent or guardian would know how emotionally mature a child is to start sex education. It's an individual choice. But if only all parents were that intuitive and involved in their children's lives. But I don't think that we can trust all parents to be in that position.
Well, Gentle Inflatables, which sounds slightly sexual, Gentle Inflatables says, you'll be shocked at what they teach them at school in a subject like life orientation. You know, I don't know. You see, again, I'm glad I don't personally have to deal with this as a parent, because I'm not a parent, but it's a difficult road to navigate. And you know, parents have my sympathy, and parents have my respect for trying to negotiate this very, very difficult thing. I mean, raising any kids in a world of the internet, they're bound to be exposed to stuff too early that they're not meant to be exposed to, but we shouldn't support that. We shouldn't be putting it in reports and say that this is a child's right to access porn. That's outrageous. Just want to move on, because we've got only a little bit of time before 7 o'clock, and then we've got plenty to do in the next hour, including get to Sean Sanders, find out what's happening in the world of cryptocurrencies with Revix and all the rest of it. But apparently you guys were talking about the brace position on Friday while I was away.
Uh-huh.
Yes, 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 yes.
Well, you traumatized someone. She says, I'm extremely traumatized by the conversation about the brace position. I would like to now donate my business class flights to the Bahamas to see her, as I am now terrified to fly. Yours, Norma Gigaba, and then that's crossed out, and Amy, and then that's crossed out. So I don't know who actually sent it. It could be Norma. Oh. It could be Amy. Oh. It could be Amy. What did you say that upset her?
So there are a lot of urban myths about why we go into the brace position.
Yes.
One of them is so that because if you put your head down like that, you're very likely to snap your neck and it's just over and done with. And then airlines won't have to pay any, you know, insurance or cover for your disability, your lifelong disabilities.
Oh my God, but yeah. Rather you just die and they pay for your funeral. That's cheaper for them.
Yeah. So yeah, that was the line of discussion. But did she say business tickets or tickets?
I leave you guys alone for one day and look what you do. You end up traumatizing.
But then also a very big and important point that we learned on Friday was that if you are in the brace position and you happen to get into an accident or, you know, the plane crashes, it's a good position to be in so that they can find your teeth.
Yes, your dental somewhat records.
All together. And then they can actually like check your identity through your dental records. Uh-huh. So your family will know who you are.
What are you doing upsetting people while I'm away?
It was a pleasant conversation for a Friday.
Well, Des sent me this email. She said, the funniest thing happened on Friday. I downloaded some of the episodes I missed on Spotify to listen on my way to the UK because I'm emigrating. And while I was on the plane, I heard Friday's episode titled How to Survive a Plane Crash. It scared the bejesus out of me initially. Luckily, I didn't have to follow the advice on taking the brace position. Thank you for the show. It's been keeping me going and it's become part of my routine every day. Now, for the next 10 days in quarantine, I luckily have you guys to keep me company. Keep it up, Des. So, hey, Des, I hope quarantine's okay. Oh. One of my friends went back to the UK and she has a little baby. And she and the baby were in quarantine for 10 days in some hotel near Heathrow Airport. And she said it was horrible. They had like the military guarding the hotel. No one could leave. It was like
just
being
the two of them?
Yeah. The husband wasn't allowed to visit. They weren't allowed to. She wasn't able to give him the pram or the carry cot or any of that stuff to take home because that could have been contaminated. So for 10 days, they were completely isolated. Very strange. Yeah. She sent us like pictures of this little hotel room that she was basically just stuck in for 10 days. You know, I'd lose my mind. You imagine that?
It's a long time.
It's a long time. Anyway, all right, we've got more to come and plenty to talk about in the next hour. So stick around, cliffcentral.com, Wednesday morning. Cliffcentral.com.